So thinking about DIY, you know, there's this whole maker culture, people teaching themselves computer programming or electrical engineering or carpentry. Well, how about a little DIY genetic engineering or biochemistry or neuroscience? So this is part of a real-life movement around DIY biology, and the place to find out about this is a group up in Seattle's U District called Hive Bio. Bergen McMurray is its founder and its CEO.
So this part is the lab proper, where all of the magic happens. We have some PCR machines, we have a couple of freezers.
What's PCR?
Hey guys.
Polymerase chain reaction.
PCR is a technique that is used to amplify strands of DNA.
So this lab space, how would you describe what it looks like for somebody who can't see?
It's a little small. A whole bunch of equipment kind of shoved into every possible nook and cranny. Everything that we have is donated as far as equipment and disposables. And even the lab benches, I built some of them. We have a kitchen and a conference room and a microbiology room.
People can work on their own projects here, you know, things they can't do at work or in their garage. Maybe they want to mess with the genes of a marigold or culture yogurt bacteria or something. And some of the projects are these big group collaborations.
The members are looking at the DNA of particular pieces of salmon that they bring in to find the location of where those salmon were spawned.
I mean, is it an academic exercise or is there some thing that you're driving toward?
Well, usually in DIY bio, there's a thing that you're driving towards, right? So with Citizen Salmon, I believe that the goal is to create a process where you can check to see if your salmon is farmed or fresh that could be replicated so people can do that process eventually in their own homes or in other DIY bio spaces like this.
If you're starting to get worried right about now about mad scientist stuff or people accidentally releasing a killer virus or something, they say don't worry about it. They have a board that oversees all the projects and makes sure that they're safe and ethical. But it is true that there's no outside inspections. There's no big institutional oversight of any kind. This is DIY, and they don't call it biohacking for nothing. Bergen McMurray explained to me that the story of Hive Bio started more than a decade ago.
So how did Hive Bio get underway? How did it get started?
Well, I was actually working in the field of photography, and my son got diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And the psychiatrist at the time, even though he was 5 years old, recommended that we put him on lithium. And I didn't know anything about science or biology or brains at the time, but the idea of putting a 5-year old on an antipsychotic seemed like not a good idea to me. So I started doing some independent research on neuroscience, and I mean, I had to start from scratch. So I was learning about the brain, learning about neurochemistry, learning about bipolar disorder. And after a couple of months of intensive self-driven research, I came up with an idea, a set of supplements and like diet changes that I could put him on that may deal with his bipolar disorder. And lo and behold, it worked really, 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 really well. That is kind of what pushed me into neuroscience, exploring the brain in a self-driven way.
Have you consulted with physicians or anybody like that about it? I mean,
sure.
Is it fringy stuff or not?
Oh, no, not fringy at all. It's a set of supplements. I wouldn't have tried anything dangerous with my son's brain. And everything I tried on my son, I tried on myself first.
How did you get the idea that I just put my mind to this, I could do this?
Well, I'm hypomanic, so it's kind of in my genes to think that I can do anything. When people have a need and they can't get that need met for whatever reason, it's usually like a lack of resources, right? I was a single mom. Single moms aren't rolling in the dough. As a group of people, single moms were generally broke. So I didn't, at that time, have the money to go to school for 4 years and get a traditional education about neuroscience in that way. But my son needed help. So I did what needed to be done.
So you decided that neuroscience was you were interested in neuroscience beyond just that one goal-oriented thing. You were interested in the whole discipline.
Right around that time is when I started working at the Allen Institute for Brain Science. And I wanted to try out some of my ideas and some of the methods that I'd been reading about in an actual lab space. And the Allen Institute has a bunch of lab space, but you can't just go in the lab and start working on projects. Generally, you can rent independent lab space, but there's a really high price point. It's like I think, a minimum of $2,000 a month for a bench at one of those places.
$2,000 a month?
Somewhere in there.
How much do people pay to work here?
Under $100.
How did you get from wishing that there was a place like this to making a place like this?
Like, being part of the maker community, I was generally familiar with the concept of DIY bio.
This is a thing. You didn't invent it.
Yeah, I didn't invent it. I will definitely not take credit for that. DIY bio has been around roughly since like 2005, 2007, something like that. And it came from other makerspaces wherein there were people hacking and stuff like that. And a subset of that group of people were like, well, if we can do this with programming, why can't we do it with jeans? So I secured a space within one of my friend's hackerspaces.
I'm just going to ask you again, because I think that it's a mentality that is very natural to you and a little bit foreign, I think, to a lot of other people, the idea that you could just do this. And, I mean, you said you didn't have any money, you're a single parent, you're a very busy person, a working mother. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be so easy just to be like, wow, if I were a gazillionaire and had 10 nannies, I could, you know, do something cool like this? You didn't wait around for that.
No, I didn't wait around for that. And, like, I didn't grow up with a lot of money. My family was on food stamps and stuff. So you get used to and comfortable with and enjoy building things that you need. I was also a punk rocker when I was in high school. So the punk rock community is a very much make-your-own-stuff community.
Is it fair to call this punk biology?
Oh, absolutely.
So what's it been like to watch people coming in here and pursuing their own interests or collaborating on one of these big projects that you guys have ongoing? How do you feel about watching that?
I find it incredibly rewarding. You just watch people's eyes light up when they get to see and touch a sheep brain for the first time, or that when they learn through a hands-on experiment like how PCR works or how to run a gel. This is the kind of opportunity that unless you're in school, most people just don't have access to, even if they want to.
So it seems like a lot of this is very practically driven. Is there some ideology in there too? I mean, is it a statement or a reaction to the corporate or academic control of the sciences?
When I was in high school, science and math, especially as a woman or as a girl at the time, were perceived as like really hard. Like you had to be an exceptionally smart person to even understand anything. This is really not the case. So part of our mission is to help them realize, dude, it's not that hard. Like, we can all do this and we can do it together. And you don't have to be a genius to explore science and come up with hypotheses of your own.
So at this point, we had to cut out to go peek back in the lab because people were arriving for one of HiBio's low-cost classes. And this one is on bioinformatics, which is basically how to organize and interpret complex biological data. And one of the things you can do with that is reconstruct the genetic information of ancient organisms. So people of all ages are crowding at these lab tables, and a guy named Blake Allen introduces the lesson in how to build a dinosaur. Okay, maybe not literally, but this is as close as we're going to get to a DIY dino.
So Jurassic Park was a lie. Why was Jurassic Park a lie? Well, dinosaurs lived 68 million years ago, and under ideal conditions, DNA degrades in about 6.8 million years or so. You can see all the DNA in these amber enclosed mosquitoes would have already degraded. But that's okay, because we can still design a dinosaur.
Could you tell me your name?
Alex Meredith.
And how old are you?
16.
So what brings you in here today?
My mom actually saw something about this online, and so she signed our whole family up, so we're all here.
So you're being forced to be here?
I thought it sounded interesting. She actually asked me first, yeah.
What sounded interesting about it to you?
Well, I'm taking computer science at school, and so I'm interested in informatics and stuff, and I've also done some biology, and my mom's actually a biology professor, so it sounded pretty cool.
So you're the mom. What made you think that this would be fun for your whole family?
We're a nerdy group of people, and I thought it sounded like a lot of fun.
Where do you teach?
I teach at Seattle Pacific University.
So as a sort of legit biology professor, what do you make of the whole DIY bio movement?
I'm all for it. research costs a lot of money, so anything that increases access to research facilities is great in my opinion.
Do you worry at all about lay people coming in and doing stuff like this?
I'm hoping that they don't try to do anything that's beyond their capabilities, but presumably there are regulations that will prevent people from accessing things that could be potentially very dangerous. But I think a lot of this stuff, I mean, informatics is not something that is going to be, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to leave from here and build our own dinosaur afterwards, so I think it'll be okay.
You happy about the turnout?
Very happy about the turnout. There's a lot of people and a pretty good split between adults and kids, which I always like to see in our classes.
What do you hope those folks walk out of here with?
I hope that they walk out excited about science in a way that they weren't before.
I'm sure you're really busy making this organization run, but do you have any personal projects that you would like to do one of these days in this place?
Oh, absolutely. My interest in neuroscience is really focused on the intersection between neuroscience and nutrition. So I have a long list of concepts for research studies that I'd like to do, all of which are actually mostly doable in this lab. But so far, the tasks of a CEO keep me pretty busy.
Are any of them connected to the mental health stuff that your son and you deal with?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of the aspects of neuroscience that I want to explore in some way relate back to mental health, for sure. Because generally speaking, a person's personality is the cumulative result of a bunch of chemical and electrochemical processes in the brain, right? So if we can support those in the right way through nutrition and, if needed, pharmaceuticals, we can give people happier lives. And I would really love to have my research be a part of figuring out how to make that work well for people.
Well, Bergen McMurray is the CEO and founder of Hive Bio, the community-based DIY bio lab up here in the U District in Seattle. Thanks so much for being on our show.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure.